Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. The War on the West, by Douglas Murray, is a polemical work of cultural and political commentary that argues Western societies are engaged in a damaging campaign of self-criticism and historical recrimination. Building on debates around identity politics, decolonization, and institutional reform, Murray contends that many influential voices in academia, media, business, and public administration increasingly describe the West as uniquely oppressive and beyond redemption. He examines how this outlook shapes discussions of history, national identity, race, and free speech, and he warns that a civilization can lose confidence in its own achievements if it accepts only a story of guilt. The book is written for a broad audience and aims to connect fast-moving controversies to longer intellectual trends. Whether readers agree or disagree, it offers a clear window into a major fault line in contemporary politics and sets out a case for defending liberal democracy, cultural inheritance, and open inquiry against what the author sees as ideological overreach. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, the central claim, a civilizational loss of confidence. A key topic in the book is Murray's argument that the West is experiencing an internal conflict over legitimacy, meaning that the story many institutions tell about Western history and culture has shifted from imperfect progress to near total indictment. He frames this as more than ordinary criticism of past wrongs. In his view, it becomes a comprehensive narrative in which Western nations are defined primarily by slavery, empire, racism, and exploitation, while their contributions such as constitutional government, scientific inquiry, and human rights are minimized or treated as covers for power. Murray suggests that when a society accepts only its crimes as its identity, it becomes unable to defend its values or explain why they matter. He also argues that this mindset can be politically useful, offering moral status to those who denounce the past and leverage to those who demand rapid institutional changes. The topic involves questions about civic cohesion, historical balance, and the difference between reforming a tradition and repudiating it. The book invites readers to consider how narratives of national history shape public policy, education, and social trust, and what happens when the shared story becomes mainly accusatory. Secondly, history and moral judgment, slavery, empire, and selective memory. Another major theme is how contemporary movements and commentators evaluate historical events, especially slavery and colonial expansion, and how moral standards are applied across different societies. Murray argues that some popular accounts treat Western involvement in slavery and empire as uniquely defining and uniquely unforgivable, while paying less attention to the global and multi-civilizational history of conquest, forced labor, and human trafficking. His concern is not to excuse Western wrongdoing, but to challenge what he sees as a distorted comparative frame that turns history into a simple courtroom narrative with predetermined villains. He discusses how public debates can compress long, complex histories into slogans that are easy to mobilize but hard to substantiate. This topic also covers how institutions respond through removing monuments, renaming buildings, rewriting curricula, and issuing statements of contrition. Murray raises questions about whether these responses improve understanding or function as symbolic purification, and whether they encourage deeper study or promote a narrow moral tale. The broader issue is how societies can acknowledge injustice while retaining a truthful, proportionate view of the past, including uncomfortable facts about many regions and periods beyond the West. Thirdly, identity politics and the new categories of power. Murray devotes significant attention to how identity-based frameworks reorder moral and political priorities. He argues that many institutions increasingly interpret social life through group categories such as race, ethnicity, and historical victimhood, assigning people moral standing based on where they fit in a hierarchy of oppression. In this account, individual character and shared citizenship can be displaced by group identity, and disagreement can be reframed as harm rather than debate. Murray suggests that this shift changes the incentives of public life. People learn to speak in prescribed ways. Organizations adopt mandatory trainings and ideological language, and ordinary policy disagreements become tests of moral purity. He also contends that these frameworks can be self-reinforcing because they create a constant demand for new examples of bias and new rituals of acknowledgement. The topic intersects with questions of liberalism, including whether equal treatment under law can survive if group outcomes become the overriding measure of justice. Murray also highlights how this mode of politics can intensify polarization by encouraging people to see others primarily as representatives of groups rather than as fellow citizens. The reader is pushed to evaluate whether identity-first politics solves inequities or entrenches new divisions. Fourthly, free speech, cancellation, and institutional conformity. The book explores the claim that open discourse is being constrained by social and professional penalties, often labeled as cancellation, deplatforming, or compelled speech. Murray argues that the threat to free expression today is frequently informal yet powerful, operating through HR policies, public shaming, online campaigns, and reputational blacklisting. In his view, these mechanisms can create an atmosphere where people self-censor, not because the law forbids speech, but because the costs of dissent are too high. He connects this to universities, publishing, journalism, and corporate culture, where he believes ideological conformity can be rewarded and heterodox views treated as moral violations. This topic is not only about speech as a principle, but about knowledge production, what research gets funded, what questions can be asked, and what explanations are considered permissible. Murray maintains that when debate narrows, institutions lose the ability to correct errors, and public trust declines because people sense that certain facts or arguments are off limits. The discussion implicitly invites readers to separate criticism from coercion and to consider safeguards that protect both vulnerable individuals and the broader ecosystem of inquiry and disagreement. Lastly, what a defense of the West might look like. A final important topic is the constructive side of Murray's argument. If the West is being judged harshly, what is worth defending and on what grounds? He points to liberal democratic norms such as rule of law, freedom of conscience, free markets tempered by civic institutions, and the tradition of self-correction through criticism and reform. Murray suggests that Western societies have developed tools for moral progress, including abolitionist movements, expanding civil rights, and robust traditions of dissent, and that these should be understood as part of the West's inheritance rather than treated as accidents. He also argues that defending the West does not require denying wrongdoing. It requires telling a fuller story that includes both failures and achievements, and maintaining confidence in universal values rather than surrendering to cultural relativism or nihilism. This topic encourages readers to think about what citizenship means in pluralistic societies, how immigrants and minorities can be included within a shared national narrative, and how education can foster both honesty and belonging. Murray's broader message is that a society that hates itself cannot sustain the moral energy needed to improve, because reform depends on some commitment to the project being reformed. In conclusion, this book is best suited for readers who want to understand the arguments behind today's cultural battles over history, identity, and speech, including students, educators, journalists, policy-minded citizens, and anyone trying to make sense of rapid institutional change. Readers who disagree with Murray can still benefit because the book clarifies a coherent case that is influencing public debate and offers a framework for interrogating assumptions that often go unspoken. The practical value lies in learning to separate necessary historical reckoning from sweeping civilizational condemnation, and in thinking more carefully about the trade-offs between social justice aims and liberal principles, such as individual rights and open inquiry. As a purchase, it stands out among similar books for its broad synthesis. It connects controversies across education, media, corporate life, and politics into a single narrative about confidence and legitimacy, rather than treating each flashpoint as isolated. Murray also writes in a direct, accessible style that makes complex ideological disputes easier to follow. Whether it persuades you or provokes you, it is likely to sharpen your thinking and improve your ability to discuss these issues with greater precision. If you would like to support Douglas Murray, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.